Good morning. Good to see each one of you. Appreciate that you're here and hope that our worship to God is honorable in His sight. We welcome our visitors and invite you to join us as we study the Bible. And if you have questions, we solicit those, we request those from you and be happy to study more from God's Word with you. If we can help you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's the most important thing. Of all, that we will be right with God. And it's to that end that we encourage you to consider what the Bible says in view of eternity. And if you're not a Christian, to become one today. As has already been noted, and we'll have occasion to speak of it again in our lesson, Jesus has paid the price. He has died that we can live. Because sin, and in sin, we are dead. We are separated from God. But in Jesus, there is redemption, deliverance from the bondage and weight of sin, salvation, and the hope of eternal life. And so we hope that we can help you become a Christian today. And if you are a Christian and you're struggling with sin, then we hope that today will be the day that we can also encourage you to respond to the gospel, change your heart, repent of those sins. We want to help you and pray with you and petition our Father and know that He will hear and He will answer the prayers of His people for forgiveness and mercy as we repent before Him. And so we encourage response to the gospel and that each one of us will examine ourselves in light of some things that God's Word teaches us this morning to be sure that we are walking in the faith as we ought to do. I appreciate that John read for us in 2 Samuel 24. I hope you have your Bible in front of you. And as you turn there and remember that occasion, it reminds us that we appreciate what costs us something. Now, I know that we all know we put tangible value on things. We buy and sell. And that value, and recognizing the value that something is and something that has cost us a certain amount of money, we indicate the value we have on that, place on that, by the care that we show it, by the attention we give it. We take care of a house or a vehicle. Maybe it's golf clubs, maybe it's fishing rods, maybe it's guns, or whatever possession it might be. That we put value upon, we demonstrate that we have that value because we take care of it. We give it attention. Well, David, because of the plague the 3-day plague, and I encourage you to read the earlier parts of chapter 24 to see. You remember David numbered the people, and God is displeased, and God. Offers him a choice of 7 days or 7 years of famine or 3 months of flight before their enemy or 3 days of plague. And David chooses the 3 days of plague. 70,000 people died as a result of that situation. But David is told by Gad, his seer, to go and build an altar to the Lord. And on the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite, in verse 18. And so David is in the process of doing that, as John read for us. And Arauna says, "Here, O king, I am your servant. Whatever you need, here it is. Take the animals, take the implements, take the yoke for wood. Whatever you need, you take it and use it." But David said, "No, I'm not going to offer God what has cost me nothing." And so he purchases the threshing floor, the animals, the implements. He buys all of that. And there in verse 24, he bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And then he built the altar there and offered the burnt offerings. And the plague was withdrawn from Israel. You know, we possess many blessings that cost us nothing. And we're going to talk about a few of those in a minute. The question is, do we appreciate them? Gary alluded to some of that earlier. Do we appreciate the blessings that have cost us nothing? Now, it's easy to say yes, but as we're going to demonstrate in our study today, that appreciation becomes tangible in what we say and do. Do we show respect and appreciation for those blessings that cost us nothing? Or because those blessings did not cost us anything, do we take them for granted? Do we fail to show respect, appreciation, gratitude, thankfulness for those advantages, for those blessings? Let's think about that and then we're going to also, of course, talk about the fact that when we follow Jesus, it's going to cost us everything. So let's look at that from these two points. You know, your life, my life, didn't cost us anything. But it cost our parents. Think about it. Your life cost your parents. In fact, in Genesis 3:16 through 18, just as an overview, what it cost your parents, among other things, is, well, it cost your mother pain. I know that. The Bible says, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception in pain as you bring forth children. The fact that you're here today is testament to the fact that somebody endured pain so you could be here. You ever think about it that way? You're alive today because someone chose to go through pain. Your mother chose to go through pain so you could be here. You ever thank her for that? Do you ever thank her for that? Is willing. It wasn't something forced upon her by somebody else. It was chosen. That didn't cost you a thing, but it cost her. Sure did. What about your father and your mother? He goes on, Adam, now ground is cursed because of for your sake, and you're going to work the rest of your life. It's going to bear thorns and thistles. It's going to bring that, and you're going to eat the herb of the field with the sweat of your face. You're going to make bread, have bread through working hard, keep it in front of the weeds till you return to the ground, till you die. Yeah, it costs work for you to be here. It costs you to come into the world and to be sustained in this world. You know that in 2015, it's estimated that it will cost parents a little over $250,000 to raise a child until they're 18. About $12,000 to $14,000 a year is the estimate. $233,610 in 2015. I don't think that's probably gone down since then. Yeah, it costs to have children. It costs your parents. The fact that you're alive. Well, not just the fact that you exist, but that you continue to exist as a child, that you live, that you had life, that you had constant and compassionate care. That's a blessing that we've received. Now, the question is, and the point we're making here is, have we failed to appreciate and be thankful for those blessings? Have we taken them for granted because it cost us nothing? Or are we, in fact, appreciative and thankful because we understand that somebody else paid a price so that we could live, could be alive here today? Look at Ezekiel 16, 4 through 6 with me. This is a passage where God describes Israel. As he says, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite, your mother a Hittite. As for your nativity, for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. And when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. Now he uses birth as the metaphor to describe when God gave life to Israel. But you see, undergirding that whole concept is in nativity and birth, we are totally and utterly dependent on someone else for everything. Israel was cast aside. God gave her life. Well, you see, someone cut your navel cord. Someone washed you, clothed you, cleaned you, wrapped you, fed you, tended for you with compassionate care, with loving care and tenderness. Oh yes, we have many blessings that didn't cost us a thing, but cost someone else a great deal. And what is our response to that? These are costs gladly paid, by the way. This is not acknowledged to say this was some oppressive thing. These are costs gladly paid, lovingly paid, willingly paid, but cost nonetheless. Like your education, your training, your instruction, your discipline as you grow up cost something as well. See, the response is in Ephesians 6, that deserves our respect. Fathers, nurture your children and bring them up in the care and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, children, honor your father and mother. Doesn't it? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So the appreciation for the blessing that costs the child nothing is the child's obedience and honor of the parents. You see, we show whether we value things by our reaction to them. Children are to show the value they have toward their parents by obeying them and honoring them and respecting them. You see, there's something deserved there, and God knows that. In Malachi 1 and verse 6, He drew upon that point. Malachi 1 and the 6th verse, He said that a son honors his father. That's a given, he said. He builds his case there. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my reverence? Yes, our parents deserve our honor and respect because it demonstrates the value that we place upon them. Because you see, we have life because of them. And that life was freely given to us as a great blessing from them, from God to us. Proverbs 6 illustrates this. In Proverbs 6 and verse 20, look what it says there. The father is speaking. He says, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they'll lead you. When you sleep, they'll keep you. When you wake, they'll speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs or instruction in the ways of life to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do you see here the father and the mother have as their goal instruction and guidance and wisdom to the child so the child is kept from sin. So the child is kept from danger. And the son is urged by the father to remember, to keep the father's commands, the mother's law, the mother's instruction. Remember, you see, that's a way to show the value that exists. Look at Proverbs 5, 1 and 2. The respect that is to be present. Proverbs 5, 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. Now, again, here's the father speaking to the son. Pay attention. The lesson to the son is to realize your father who gave you life, along with the mother. You see, he's had the experience. He's in the position of teaching. And He has your best interests at heart. And so lend your ear. Receive His instruction. These are the ways that you show the value you put on life itself than the very ones who gave you life. Let's remember to do that. Let's remember to do that in our own lives with our own fathers and our own mothers. You know what? Your life also costs your neighbors something. You ever think about that? Oh yes. As you were growing up, your neighbors were paying taxes. Paying for the roads and your education in the public school system. And a lot of different things that cost you nothing. You see? Our life is not lived in a vacuum. The life of others is affecting us. So how do we treat our neighbor? Treat our neighbor, as the way to get what we want, or to love our neighbors ourselves. You see, they help in our life, and of course, there's God Himself. Of course, because life is a great gift from God, isn't it? God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The spirit will return to God who gave it. It is the spirit of man that gives life to man, that gives life to the body. God is the giver of life and the sustainer of life. He's the provisioner. He gives us the provisions. He set before Israel life and death, and He said, choose life. In Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. Moses said, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God and obey His voice, and you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land the Lord swore to the fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Moses said, God gave you life. He is your life. So, you see, your life didn't cost you anything. You say, oh yeah, I got to do a lot of things to live. That's right. To continue to live, but life itself, it was a gift. It's a gift from God, from your parents, even your neighbors. So, do we value life? And do we value those who have helped to give us life in a variety of ways? That will be the measure of whether we really appreciate life, will it not? Is the degree to which we show that appreciation and that honor and that respect and regard for those who gave it to us? How could it be otherwise? How could we understand that life is a gift and then treat the very ones who give that gift with contempt? Something's not right when we do that, is it? No, it's not. Well, let's go a little farther. Your salvation was given to you freely. Our salvation was free. God is the God of our salvation. Psalm 68, verses 19 and 20. You look at that psalm, among other. We didn't save ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We didn't save ourselves. Psalm 68, and 18 and 9, or 19 and 20 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. He daily loads us up with benefits, with blessings. He is the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation. And to God the Lord belong escapes from death. God is the one who gives us escape, gives us deliverance, gives us salvation from death. Yes, from the death of sin. He is the one who says, come and drink freely. If you're thirsty, Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money on what is not bread and your wages for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. He says, come for the spiritual water, for the living waters, for salvation, and for the nourishment for your soul that I, the Lord God, can give you. The Bible ends with that same call, that same invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Our salvation was freely given to us by God. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There's no doubt, there's no question. How do we value it? It didn't cost us our life. What value do we put on our salvation? Well, you see, that's going to say how much value we put on the Son of God. Because it was the Son of God who gave His life for our sins. It is Jesus who not just died, He gave Himself to die. He sacrificed Himself willingly for our sins. Galatians 1 and verse 4, Paul just uses this expression. He gave Himself for our sins. Romans 5, 8 says, "While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us." Hebrews 2, 9, He died for all, every one of us. Hebrews 2 and 9 says, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. He died for everyone. He died for you. He died for me. So what value do we put upon it? We didn't die on the cross. We have salvation. It was a gift of God. A free expression of God's grace, right? We're saved by His grace. Redeemed by His grace. And freely given, by Christ, He will freely give us all things. Freely. It didn't cost. So what is our level of appreciation? Now David said to Arona, "I will not give to God that which costs me nothing." Because you see, while it cost God and the Son of God His life to save us, let's also understand, you see, that our salvation costs us our faith and our obedience. Just as we said, when we value life, we show that by honoring those who gave us life and give us life. The fact that God gives us spiritual life in His Son demands that we give Him our faith and our obedience. That verse also says, "By grace have you been saved through faith." That's our part. John 8, 23 and 24, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sin. Except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sin." You got to believe and you got to obey. Because really saving faith is obedient faith. Jesus, having been made perfect, became unto all those who obey Him the author of eternal salvation. Christ is the source, the giver of salvation to all who obey Him in faith. So it's not faith only. Your salvation freely given, but it's going to cost you a response of faith and obedience. If you want to be saved, you got to believe and you got to obey. And that demonstrates your appreciation for the fact that there's a gift here given to you of life, of spiritual life, freely given, that you receive. See, faith compels us to respect and honor and obey Jesus. In Matthew 8, there's Jesus, the multitudes were pressing upon the Lord. And in that passage, it says that He saw the great multitudes about Him, and He gave a commandment to depart to the other side. A certain scribe came and said to Him, "Teacher, I will follow You wherever You go." And Jesus is going to tell him, it's going to cost You something. He said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." Will you pay that price? Will you pay the sacrifice to follow Me anywhere, wherever I go? It's going to cost you faith and obedience. It's going to cost you something. Then another of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Jesus says it's going to cost your unwavering priority and commitment. I'm going to have to be first before everything. Everything. If you're going to follow me, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. Yes, there's a cost to faith. There's a cost to obedience. And that's what I want us to look at now, because you see, Jesus measures our respect for Him by that obedient faith. No question about it. This is how He's going to measure it. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's standard of judgment He's going to use. Don't call me Lord and don't do what I say. What measure of respect is that? What measure of honor is that? What measure of appreciation is that? To call me Lord but not obey me. It's not, is it? We understand that. James 2 says, "You say you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I by my works will show you my faith." Jesus is not interested in us saying. He's interested in us saying and doing. He's interested in our doing. If we're going to say we believe, we're going to say we love Him, we're going to say that, yes, He saved me, then do it. Do our faith. Live our faith. Be obedient. Follow Him. Show respect to Him. Honor Him. By making His will our will. Making His will what's in our heart. Write it on our heart. To live it in our lives. That's how it happens. We've got to write it on our hearts. That's conversion. And that's the utter commitment. And so let's talk about the price we have to pay. Because discipleship costs everything. Living in Jesus Christ costs you everything. And this is the point that the gospel calls us to, that a material world rejects, that a material self-centered world refuses. You see, because it values the here and now, it values the things it can see and touch and smell and feel and hold on to. But Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, it's interesting. I have to confess something. I have not emphasized that word. It kind of struck me like a bolt of lightning this morning when I was looking at this. If anyone desires to come after me. It doesn't just say if anyone comes after me. It says if anyone desires to come after me. I haven't emphasized that enough. You desire to come after Jesus? Deny yourself. You see, Jesus is not going to measure and accept you because you desire something. He says, if you desire to follow me, to come after me, deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. Don't give God that which costs you nothing. And don't think God's going to accept you for giving Him nothing. He said, if you desire to follow me, to come after me, you take up your cross, you deny yourself. It's going to cost you everything. And that's a sacrifice most of us are not willing to make. We need to ask ourselves this morning, am I making that sacrifice? Am I willing to make that sacrifice? Am I going to start making that sacrifice if I've not been making that sacrifice? Or are we going to try to give God something that costs us nothing? Luke 14:33, Jesus would on another occasion say, "Whoever of you who does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." He said, count the cost and pay the price in that context. And whoever of you does not forsake all that he has. What is it you have in your life right now? Not just talking material. I'm talking about emotional connections. For example, relationships as well. On top of all the things you may possess or may desire, He says, if you do not forsake all, love all of that less than Me, you can't be My disciple. Now, Jesus sets a high bar, doesn't He? But it's a reachable bar. What's it going to do? It's going to cost us our own selfishness. If we're going to reach that bar, we're going to have to stop being selfish. And that's a hard thing to do. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. I'm going to stop being selfish. I'm going to live for Christ now. I'm going to crucify myself. That's the cost. If I'm going to live in Christ, I'm going to be a Christian, a faithful Christian. I've got to give up myself. And making what I want and me and my and mine the driving force of what I decide to do in my life. It's going to cost you your mind and your body. I beseech you therefore, brethren, through the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be a living sacrifice. Give your body by giving your mind. Give your entire self. That's what it's going to cost you to follow Jesus. All of your being. It's going to cost you priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, when it costs us our priorities, that is, establishing Him as first, look what that's going to mean. That's going to cost me my comfort. We live very comfortable lives, you know. And then we complain about inconveniences. We really do. We complain that the car's broken when we have two cars, you know, or three in some cases. You see, we live comfortable lives. But then inconvenience becomes our excuse not to put Jesus first. Oh, it's too far away. Oh, it's too hard. I'm too tired, as Gary mentioned earlier. What did Jesus say to that fellow? He said, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay His head. And we complain about attending worship service. It's going to cost us our convenience. Yes, Paul. Look at Paul. We start feeling like we just can't handle it anymore. We need to think about the Apostle Paul a little while. 2 Corinthians 11. Would you do that with me for just a minute? Paul said, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep, in the ocean. He goes on to say in verse 26, 2 Corinthians 11, 26, in journeys often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils, that means, you know, dangers, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and cold, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. It's time we feel like we're just being put out a little too much to attend a gospel meeting, or attend the worship services of the church, or to teach a Bible class, or, you know, to attend a gospel meeting, or whatever it might be, teach a class to somebody else, or attend a class someone else is teaching. We start thinking those are just a little too much. Maybe we need to think about our Lord Jesus and His apostles. And by the way, Paul said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And Christ didn't have a place to lay His head. I mean, He left heaven to be a man, to live on earth. You see what I say? Living for Christ is going to cost you everything. Do you want to pay the price? Do you want to sometimes have a sleepless night on Saturday and attend worship on Sunday because that's where your heart is? Or I don't know where we got this. I don't know where we came up with the idea that when my convenience is overwhelmed, God will understand. I really don't know where we came up with that thinking, except the devil. Paul said, what things were gained for me, I've counted loss, that I might gain Christ. Following Jesus may mean you have to, it may cost you earthly advancement. It may cost you an advancement in a career here or there, or it may cost you in a variety of ways. But you see, discipleship that costs us nothing, what is it? What does it amount to? Will we give God that which costs us nothing? Or will we be like David, who said, no, I'm going to pay for what I offer God. It's going to cost me something because I value serving God. I value honoring God. And that's what's going to direct me. That's what David did. You see, discipleship is going to cost us worshiping God in spirit and in truth, isn't it? That's what God seeks as true worshipers, those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's going to cost you time and energy. I'm being redundant. I got ahead of myself. But you see, the apostles continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. When it costs your time, when it costs your energy, when it costs you the inconveniences of comfort, you worship in spirit and in truth. You see, in Acts 27, the disciples didn't meet at 9:30 in the morning on the Lord's Day. It was a night, because most likely they served their masters and worked all day long. And then they went to worship, and Paul preached past midnight. And their hearts were there. Their lives were there. Worshiping in spirit and truth will cost you. That won't cost you much. Just come here and endure the preacher a little while and then go about your business. That won't cost you very much, except your soul. And maybe it will cost you, huh? See, we need to reevaluate how we value the things that are really important. See, worshiping God is going to cost you financially too. It cost David financially. He purchased those implements and threshing floor, and there was more as you study more fully in that. He bought the entire place, and that's where the temple eventually was built. Solomon's temple. Well, now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, look what it says. Now concerning collection for the saints, as I have given orders in the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. You see, it's going to cost us something to give as we've been prospered. God has greatly prospered us. Do we give greatly? He said, oh, amount doesn't matter. God has not specified an amount. But God says he who sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you give bountifully. So let each one give as he's purposed in his heart. Now, have you purposed to give sparingly or bountifully? That's the question that I must ask myself and you must ask yourself when we give. You see, because worship in spirit and in truth is going to cost you financially. Because you could take that money, and the world would certainly take that money and put it on themselves in some way. You choose to take that money and put it to the work of the Lord. It costs you financially. But you see, you're willing to pay that price because you first give yourself to the Lord. Chapter 8, verses 3 through 5. We give bountifully because we've first given ourselves to the Lord. That's how we are willing to pay that price, pay that cost. Well, you see, faith is sacrificial. We've got to pay the sacrificial price of faith. We know faith is necessary. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. But as you read through the 11th chapter of Hebrews, time and again, we are made to reflect upon just the price that was paid in the faith of those people. Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Think about what it cost Noah. I don't know that wood was free. Maybe he cut every piece of it. That cost him if he did that, didn't it? Cost him a lot. Not to mention, don't you expect at 500 years old, he probably had some other plans for his life. What plans do you have for your life? Is the Lord getting in the way? Is the Lord getting in the way of the plans you have? That's a shame. Because Noah shows us the kind of faith that's going to save us. And if we don't have that kind of faith, we're not going to be saved. But look at the cost that it cost him. Look at Abraham. He obeyed when he was called to go out to a place where he was to receive his inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Can you imagine that? He lived the rest of his life moving from place to place in tents. Now, tents were pretty elaborate, I suppose, but he's moving all of his life on the road all the time because he lived for the city whose builder and maker is God. Why? When God told him to kill his only begotten son, he raised the knife, trusting God would even have the ability to bring him back from the dead. It cost Abraham a life in unknown regions and even to the point of the life of his son, which God gave him. He didn't take him, but you see, it cost Abraham everything to have faith. Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, it says that that by faith they hid their son and were not afraid of the king's commandments. Cost them. See, they feared God more than man. And they say they didn't kill their son. And they're honored for their faith. Moses, verses 24 through 27. He preferred the reproaches of the Christ. He preferred to follow God rather than to esteem the riches of Egypt. He accepted the suffering that came. He paid a price. He was in the palace. Every advantage. He gave it all up to be faithful. It cost him something to be faithful to God. You see, a faith that is not rooted in thankfulness, is not yet rooted and grounded. Paul said, as therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and grounded, established in your faith. Even as you were taught. He said, you see, and he says, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We became Christians with thanksgiving in our heart. But now following Jesus requires remembrance of what it cost for us to be saved. And pay the price of discipleship every day with thanksgiving. We don't talk about this cost as being a burden. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. This is not burdensome. This is the love we have for God, the faith we put in Him, the reliance we have upon Him. You see, if we don't have thankfulness toward God, how are we going to be faithful to Him? Why would we be? Not for very long. Not with any depth of faith. God gave what cost everything. He gave His Son. And now He calls upon us to give everything. Give Him our honor, give Him our respect, give Him our sacrificial devotion, our faithful obedience. He is first above everybody else, above everything else, and above myself. And to so do that, then are we not following the example of David? I will not give God that which costs me nothing. If you're not a Christian, God is inviting you to be saved. He's calling upon you to be saved. And He's calling upon you to accept His gift of salvation and to pay the price of following Him. Give Him your life. He gave His life for you. Put Him first and always. Be saved from your past sin. Repent and be baptized into Christ and He'll save you. Christians, if we have sin in our hearts and lives, let us repent. Let us come back to the Lord. He'll hear our prayers. He is merciful to forgive. We stand anxious and ready to help in that respect. Won't you come while we stand and sing?
Jesus, for the cleansing power of our hearts.